Every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw.
Bon appetit, as Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Super Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
Car Shield cars go far, but helicopters go farther. Woo! Hey, look, everybody. Look at my nose. Look. Come on. I'm not doing anything. I'm just being a guy. You know, I'm just flaunting. I got something big. I show it off. Woo! Nature boy. Woo! Car Shield cars go far, but helicopters go farther. Woo! Get the fuck out of here with this shit. People don't get it. Tommy Dreamer is a nice guy. But to write it off that, oh, Rick is just being Rick. Oh, it's okay to whip out your penis and wear nothing but a robe and go around like this. As long as you don't make anybody forcibly touch it. The fuck out of here. What were they, 16 years old? Now I'm starting to think that one of the reasons why the business was so protected back then, that only people in the business could hang out and never let anybody in, is because of all the crazy shit that would go on, and they didn't want any outside people to possibly rat them out. Woo! Woo! Where am I wrong, Mish? Where am I wrong?
No, you're pretty much spot on.
Car Shields go far. Play with my chicken. You could look, but you can't touch. You could look, but you can't touch. Hey, everybody, my chicken. Look how big it is. Woo! Out of here, man. Let me do that to somebody's wife. Oh, I'm just showing it off. If you got it, flaunt it. If you got them, smoke them. Woo! Where am I wrong? No way I'm wearing a robe during that entire show. All right, let's take this off. Let's take this off. That's better.
There you go.
That's better. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, and joining along with me is
Anthony Missionary. Yay! Thomas. What's going on, DT?
Good. Pretty good. Yeah, I hope everyone out there checked out Saturday's show. Yeah. Mish was on, and we gave our predictions for the upcoming draft. And I tell you, you know, looking at these predictions, showcasing a little bit of Carrillo and Garza before they get drafted to SmackDown, John Morrison quietly off TV because of Miz doing Dancing with the Stars, just move him to SmackDown, the feud that never finished. And my God.
Did you vote for the Miz?
I thought he actually did pretty good today. Reminded me of Fandango. But I actually thought he did pretty good.
If you're going to vote for The Miz, the number is 21523. Just type in The Miz and vote for him.
You know what? You just text
Miz off of WWE television.
Wait, you just text. All you got to do is I'll do it right now live on the show. So you go to text. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to text. And what is it?
21523.
21523. Okay. Subject.
You can vote up to 10 times per day.
Okay, subject, we put Miz and that's send. It. Okay.
And then I'll hit you back.
I voted. Yeah, Miz, you now you got to tweet bang me, Miz. You got to tweet bang me so I could put it as my wallpaper. I could tattoo it to my forehead. A grown adult.
That's right.
I thought Raw was outstanding tonight.
Raw was fantastic.
And look.
Dude, I had a lot of fun from the start tonight. They really fucking put on the show. People were joking about WWE hot-shotting last week. No. Tonight, they put on the hot-shotting clinic. Absolutely. Good stuff.
It was designed to show that Big E belongs as a heavyweight champion.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yes, Roman Reigns won twice because Roman Reigns is the head of the table. He's the number one guy.
Yeah.
But Big E hanging toe-to-toe with Bobby Lashley, only a chair stopped him. And Roman Reigns beating Lashley because Big E was down from the chair shots.
Right.
They made tonight Big E was a made man.
But even the main event, spoke scores for all three men. This is, look, I understand we got Finn Balor versus Roman this Sunday, but can we all just openly agree that the main storyline is going to be what happens eventually with Big E and what happens with Bobby Lashley? And the feeling I get that there's going to be some tomfoolery over the weekend because of what happened tonight.
Yeah. And not only that, you move Lashley to SmackDown, as we talked about it on Saturday. You know, MVP stays off TV a little bit, selling rib. So, you know, we don't have him involved. We wait. Look, the draft is next weekend. So,
yeah, I know. I know, dude. We're right here, man. Like, it's been a while. I mean, look, I'll give AEW credit. They have brought up the excitement, and I'm telling you, WWE is easily matching that excitement and making it even better.
Absolutely.
I have flashbacks of when I was a teenager watching WCW and Monday Night Raw, not in the same caliber, but just the idea that I can watch two different promotions at the same time and be excited for both.
Absolutely. I'm not being rude looking down. It's just that I know people love when we do timestamps, so I want to do, I want to just type some, you know, timestamps as we're going along so I could get to sleep at an early night tonight, you know. So it's not fun to go back and try to skim through an hour and a half, 2 hour show trying to find timestamps, everything. But I tell you, I really enjoyed tonight's Raw. You know, I don't care. I really don't care what some people say online. But talked about it. You look at this. You got the number one guy in WWE, Roman Reigns,
right,
the number one guy. For the last year, everybody said he's been killing it. The Usos, one of the top tag teams in this generation. The New Day,
sure,
you know, some consider the best ever. And because we get it for free on Raw, people are upset. Hot-shotting or not hot-shotting, what do you want? Do you want a good show or do you want a bad show and make
matches.
Sense?
Yeah, I want exciting matches, good storylines. I don't give a fuck who gives it to me. If you can keep my entertainment and make me enjoy watching wrestling on a regular basis, you're the fucking winner because I am. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The people that are like, well, this doesn't make sense. This is political. WWE is just trying to squeeze. Who cares, dude? It fucking enjoy it. Holy shit. This is literally the equivalent, DT, of a hot girl randomly coming up to a stranger and saying, I want to blow you. And them turning around going, yeah, but does she really love me? This is the equivalent of what kind of wrestling fans we have today. Not everyone, but you know who you are. If you're a guy that's watching tonight going, man, this isn't good. AEW stuff is always better. I can't like anything on WWE. Then you're really doing yourself a disservice as a wrestling fan, as a fan of sports entertainment even. You're doing yourself a disservice by not enjoying what in the hell you're getting right now. Because this is good times.
Absolutely.
This is much better than the lean times we've had to go through for the last year. So sit back, grab some fucking popcorn, grab your dick, watch some TV, and enjoy the fucking show. We got a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. We got a big draft coming up for WWE. We got Brian Danielson and Kenny Omega right around the corner. What in the fuck is there to be pissy about?
Adam Cole opens up AEW, and it's unbelievable awesome. I want to cry.
Yeah,
the Bloodline versus the New Day open up Raw, and it sucks because it doesn't make sense because it's being hotshot. Imagine WWE's going to your neighborhood, and imagine your wife, your husband, whatever, and your kids come up to you, daddy, I want to go to Raw tonight. They're doing the Bloodline versus the New Day. Well, son, they should have saved it for Survivor Series. Well, son,
yeah, there's too much political maneuvering, man. There's a lot of people.
Everybody on TV is chanting, "This is awesome." Well, yeah. Son, that is what sheep looks like when you open up the dictionary.
Right, right.
Yeah, now I sound like Richard Nixon. Well, son, when you open up the dictionary. Fuck is wrong with these people? They know they got nothing. And case in point. Sorry, Owen, you got to wait a few more minutes. Keith Lee.
All right.
I got to put this timestamp in here. Keith Lee. Keith Lee wrestled the dark match tonight.
Yes.
Keith Lee wrestled the dark match tonight. And when he was introduced, they called him Bearcat Keith Lee. Or Keith Bearcat Lee. Because even though back in the day we always considered him Superfly Jimmy Snuka, and Joe McHugh used to say, "Jimmy, Superfly Sanuka." You know, Bearcat in the middle of his name, the beginning of his name, they called him fucking Bearcat. Immediately, internet starts ripping this shit apart. And I sat back, as soon as I saw it, I had Sputnik Monroe flashbacks. People cracking jokes about Sputnik Monroe and people thinking it's fucking hilarious and cracking jokes. And then having no idea what that man did for black wrestlers in the 50s and segregation. You know, none of that mattered. It's crack joke. Soon as I saw people jumping all over Bearcat, I immediately thought of Sputnik Monroe. I said, oh, shit, here we go again. Because I immediately thought of this man. And I said, if Keith Lee is paying a little homage or tribute to Bearcat Wright, a lot of people online might as well give their own names a moniker. Call them Joe Jackass Schmuck, Joe Schmo, because some people, just to show you the laziness of some websites, oh, he was a wrestler in the 50s and 60s and was influential about trying to desegregate wrestling. This is the first fucking ever black heavyweight champion. When everybody says, no black champions, it's the first fucking ever black champion, Bearcat Wright. People, I don't expect a lot of people to know the history, but before you open up your fucking mouth and you think, oh my God, I got the tweet, everybody's going to be stroking me tonight, I got the tweet. Maybe you do a little history and say to yourself, oh, maybe this is a homage to someone that I don't know about. So I wrote that early. By the middle of the night, I think people started to catch on and started saying, okay, hold off. This might be a tribute to somebody very, very important in the history of wrestling that a lot of us are not familiar of. But when I see people even doubling down with further jokes,
morons too.
Yeah, I saw people doubling down with further jokes. And, you know, a lot of people said, oh, DT, you're on fire tonight.
Right. It's one thing to make jokes, but people are using it in order to leverage over Keith Lee. Like, Keith Lee's career is now done.
They want an excuse to say, Vince, you suck.
Right.
That's it. They want to use an excuse. They want Keith Lee to fail so they could blame it on Vince. They want the ratings to suck so they could blame it on Bruce. They want things to suck so people could profit off of it. They want WWE to suck so it makes AEW look even better. Ignore those fucking people. Ignore them. Rhea Ripley tonight. Connor's cure. Pediatric cancer awareness. Yes, WWE does, you know, what was the philanthropist comment?
Philanthropist?
Yeah. What was the remark that Stephanie said years ago?
Philanthropy is the future of marketing.
Yes. But
and it is, and you know what? They used it a little bit tonight, and I know we'll get to talking about that. But they did use that a little bit tonight with Rhea and Nikki A.S.H.
Right, but with Rhea Ripley, she has done a lot of appearances for sick children.
Oh yeah, no,
we
I'm
haven't
not taking anything away from that. No.
I'm not
under the bus for that. I'm not. They used it tonight. They had Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley come out there and present their, you know, the Connor's Cure segment to talk about it. And honestly, before I was going to finish, I was going to say it was the first time in a very long time with a lot of WWE charities that it felt a little bit natural.
That's where I was going with this. Rhea Ripley, people ripping her online for forgetting her lines. Seriously, that woman got emotional because she's thinking about all the sick, cancerous kids that she had to see over these bunch of years. And people online ripping her for flubbing her lines. You are a dick. I don't care if it's people that I'm friends with. If you ripped Rhea Ripley tonight for forgetting her lines, you are a dick with a capital D. A dick. I hope you didn't.
Speaking of dicks.
people are getting sick of it already. I got big nostrils. I won't do it again. I promise. But let's answer a couple of early super chats.
Sure.
Joe Punches. We talked about Naomi and the Bloodline. What if?
Yeah.
What if Nia... Yes, it curdles his skin to say it. Joins the Bloodline when she joins SmackDown. And we've talked about that, but I'm going to stick with my prediction from Saturday. I think they troll everybody and Naomi gets drafted right back to Raw.
He's saying, what if Nia takes Naomi's
position? Oh, Nia. I didn't see.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I don't know. After Piglet tonight. Do you have the sound effect?
No, that's okay.
Miss sends me a DM earlier, and it's the video of Nia after.
Let me see if I can play this.
Yeah, we're not going to play the video of it, but he voiced over.
This was.
This is Nia.
Yeah,
that's Nia tonight.
Shayna busted her arm. That was good times. Good times. I fucking loved it, man. Nia looked good in pain. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I like the idea that maybe, just fucking maybe, Shayna Baszler can go back to being the spade like she was down on NXT. Maybe she can go back to that stone cold killer persona that she used to have. Because the thing that made Shayna amazing was the fact that she was such a stoic, stone-faced woman.
Yeah.
And she had the MMA skill to back it up. And ever since she's been with Nia Jax, it's almost as if she's forgotten who she was. Since she's come up on the main roster, she's almost forgotten what brought her to the main roster. And I don't know if that's by design or if that was her choice to try and emote more because maybe somebody told her, hey, smile more or some shit like that. But Shayna is a girl that you don't want to see smile.
Yeah.
You want to see her angry. And tonight, man, she did a good job. And the cool thing was, too, is at the same point, she was kind of teetering that balance because she did think for a second, do I really want to end this girl's career? Do I really want to break Nia in half like I can? And she fucking did it anyways. So at least, I mean, there's something still there, which is really enjoyable. And obviously we're going to see a feud come from this or another match or two come from this. But Nia begging, Shayna, don't do this. Shayna, don't do it.
See, I want to make it clear. I'm not calling Nia a piglet. I think Nia, I've said it so many times on these shows. Nia is a beautiful.
No, she physically sounded
she's
like
beautiful. She sounded like a pig. She sounded she like sounded a screeching like pig. It reminded me of Mankind. When he would, you know, he'd rip his hair out, throw it out, you know, he would do like, you know, stuff. But
very similar.
I think it backfired tonight a little bit. because I think the WWE expected the universe to pop for Shayna, and Shayna got booed out of the building.
Oh, dude, I fucking loved it. You know what? And you're right, because all of a sudden I have figured out a way to get that sympathy from fans. And not only did Nia get sympathy from fans, she got sympathy from fans that hated her. You know what I mean? So she did a very good job with the whole squealing and crying shit and the begging for Shayna not to hurt her. And Shayna doing that, to me, made her the ultimate face, because she was done taking all the shit that Nia kept throwing at her. She's a stronger competitor. She's a better athlete. And the fact that she's been playing second fiddle to Nia has bothered a lot of us for a while now, not just in storyline. It's kind of like, when does Shayna get her chance to shine? And I think now might be it. But the direction that they chose, Shayna looks strong, and she could revert back into the badass we remember her from in NXT. And I'm looking forward to that Shayna. I think that Shayna is worth something.
Yeah. We'll go back to Raw in a little bit.
Sure.
I want to just wrap up our discussion about Tommy Dreamer and Ric Flair. If you did not into this past Thursday, if you did not tune into this Saturday show, you need to.
Yeah.
Because we had a pretty intense debate about Tommy Dreamer's comments and about him being suspended from Impact and taken off of Busted Open Radio for a little while. Now, let me address this man, Brandon Jones. My whole point about the joke I did earlier is basically, I don't know if you tuned, it seems like you didn't tune into Saturday's show. Because my whole point about all of this is that Rick being Rick is not acceptable whether you're 50, 40, 20, 16 years old. To write it off that, oh, Rick didn't have any thoughts of sexual assault. He's got a big thing. He likes to whip it around. He likes to walk around wearing a robe, you know, with nothing else on. And everybody knows Rick that way. Rick is harmless, this and that. No, there's no excuse for it, period. See how ridiculous I looked earlier? And to walk around naked, yeah, that's meant for maybe just the heterosexual locker room, all right? And maybe the boys that they used to hang out with, and maybe they all got a good laugh out of it. No excuse to do it on a plane. Whether he didn't intend anything sexual or he denies it, still, there are too many people that saw him on the fucking plane. We're going to read Ric Flair's statement in a moment, but there's one part of this that I absolutely love about Ric Flair's statement, and I said this earlier. No one else has the balls to say this. 30 for 30 did an interview today, I think Rory, and I like Rory. Rory's great people. And Rory said, look, you know, no one ever told us any stories that they witnessed Ric Flair ever forcibly groping anybody or, you know, sexually assault. Like he's 30 for 30 said, no one ever told us that Rick ever did this. And my answer was, yeah, that's because you never interviewed Heidi Doyle.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people. Ric Flair didn't call RVD a liar. Ric Flair didn't call a lot of other people on that plane a liar. All Ric Flair said is, I never sexually assaulted anyone. That's my problem with the Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer apologized. Do you have his apology in front of you?
Tommy Dreamer's? No, I don't.
All right. Tommy Dreamer just basically said, look, I didn't intend to offend anyone, and sexual assault is not acceptable, period. And he's sorry if he offended anyone. And you know what? A lot of people accepted his apology because one thing I think we all agree on is Tommy Dreamer is a really good guy.
I have it right in front of me if you want.
Read what he said. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Tommy Dreamer quoted on social media, looks like Twitter. He was saying, regarding my comments on Dark Side of the Ring, it was never my intention to offend, hurt, or victim shame anyone. I understand my comments were insensitive and could trigger emotions in someone's own personal past. I do not condone sexual misconduct of any kind. I apologize to anyone I've offended. From the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry.
I believe it's genuine. I do. I really do.
Yeah, there's no reason for it not to be. Tommy Dreamer is not a guy that people would put on a list of repeat offenders when it comes to bad stories, when it comes to bad behavior in wrestling. You know what I mean? He's not the guy that's on that list. There's plenty of other names that we could come off with off the top of our head. Unfortunately, Ric Flair being one of them, of guys in wrestling who have bad attitudes, bad tempers, bad behavior in general. So when Tommy apologizes for the way that everything came out, I do believe him. I do believe he's sincere. He's not a guy that would be like, whatever, go fuck yourselves. You know,
like I said Saturday, all Dream had to do was open up what he said with three words. In Rick's head, he was not trying to sexually assault anyone. In Rick's head, he was just hanging out with the boys. Still, no justification. And I think Ric Flair's statement tonight, which he tweaked, but I got the original statement here. A lot of people think that Ric Flair should have probably kept his mouth shut. The sausage, everybody. We broke, quote unquote, here on Saturday. WWE was seriously considering removing Ric Flair's woo from the opening Raw. And sure enough, yes, they did that tonight. No opening woo on Raw anymore. And don't expect one on SmackDown for now. So
right.
Nobody gives us credit. Because we make the sausage. We just don't tell everyone we make the sausage. But anyway,
right.
Here's Ric Flair's apology. Well, I shouldn't say apology, statement, because he's still denying the accusations. Shout out to Scott. Scott, I'll get back to... Nah, it looked like a diss, man. Shout out to Scott. I don't think Dark Side of the Ring guys are terrible people. I just think that, especially with...
Wrong. Look, supposedly Tommy Dreamer had, what was it, a half hour or 45 minutes of interview with these guys, and they only used, like, maybe, what, 10 minutes, 5 minutes of his audio throughout the entire thing, and that's the audio they pull? I just have this feeling that these guys, and me and you both talked about it before, too, they made a lot of mistakes on that episode. I mean, I don't know how deep we went into it, but Vince McMahon wasn't on that plane. And Terry was the one that openly said, yeah, I was on the plane in the front with Vince McMahon and Linda. They weren't on that plane. They showed pictures of Undertaker on that plane. Undertaker wasn't on that plane. I know. So it's like, there's a lot of weird things about that episode that's already getting called out.
That's the problem when you try to put together a whole story,
yeah,
but you only have a few ingredients. You see, here's the thing. There's a lot of restaurants out there that would love to make a certain dish that they know that everybody would flock to their restaurant and buy. The problem is, if you don't have a lot of the main ingredients and you try to pull off that dish anyway, yeah, in the end, it's going to be revealed that you're missing a lot of ingredients. And that's why, look, the Ric Flair stuff was nothing new. We talked about that already. The Tommy Dreamer viewpoint in 2021 was new.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody was talking. If you notice, virtually nothing else was being brought up for the most part. But anyway.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't even believe that the Brock Lesnar stuff happened. I mean, there's a lot of backlash coming from that, saying that Terry is kind of misinformed. And it's been 20 years know the complete for a truth. Lot of these people. I think a lot of people don't believe that they're saying that she's just straight out lying, but I think there's a lot of misinformation that came from that episode.
Well, I know why.
Making it, well, I mean, it's because they wanted a story, they wanted a drama, and they asked a bunch of wrestlers 20 years past the date that it happened. I mean, they even got the Insurrection pay-per-view wrong. Some people said it was 2002. Some of the story said it was 2001. It's like, well, that's a whole year, people.
Well, this is the thing also, what a lot of people don't understand. When they toured overseas, the same flight crew, the same plane goes to different areas. So, yes, at some point during that tour, Terry was on the plane with Vince and Linda, just not the same night the same flight
where all this went down.
See, that's why there's always that saying, do I want to be right or do I want to be first? You know, and there's a reason why virtually nobody put together a documentary story about this in great detail, because you're missing a lot of important ingredients with it. And maybe some people are like, well, at least you got this ingredient, at least you got this ingredient, put it out anyway, you know? So, whatever. I want to see them put one out about the XFL, and I want to see how many people are willing to talk about what was done to some of those cheerleaders behind the scenes. Maybe not on the
I'm surprised Dark Side of Football didn't cover that.
Yep. Because they can't. They don't have all the ingredients. They're smart. Right. They're smart. Look, it was the lowest rated one of all time. You know, so maybe there's a core group of people out there that love the titillating stuff. But in the end, you know, a lot of inconsistencies come out. And then you basically say, okay, no wonder why no one else came out with this before. Because there's a lot of things that don't add up. But anyway, Ric Flair's...
Let me ask you something else. I know you want to get to this Ric Flair thing, but I do have one question that maybe you'd be able to answer, because you're a little more familiar with legal stuff than I am.
Sure.
So, is there... Considering that there was so much misinformation put out there and potential libel and slander, do you think anybody can pull a case out of this, especially considering that Dark Side of the Ring presents itself as a news format documentary as opposed to a fantasy work? Is there a potential? I'm not saying who's going to do it, but no. Is there a potential for some of these names that have been dropped and associated with this bad behavior to possibly pull out some kind of loophole?
I doubt it. Okay. Because you have people, it's one side over another. Ric Flair settled with these women. Why he settled, I don't know. But he settled with these women. But his statement is very interesting. This is what he put out tonight. This is his original one before he started tweaking it. He says, and I quote, for my audio friends out there, "Every person that I have worked with has said not to post a response. But I've never run from past behaviors before, and I'm not going to start now. I want to clarify a few things. About 4 years ago, I gave ESPN full access to my life for a 30 for 30 special. They covered taxes, financial issues, adultery, divorces, the passing of my child, and drinking, portraying at length. Rory Kempf, desperate to matter for another 15 minutes, did an interview about it this morning. When Rory's lips are moving, he's typically lying. But one part of what he said is the God's honest truth. Quote, I never heard that he forced someone to touch his genitals, Karf admitted. Everything with Rick that was construed as negative, I tried to address in the 30 for 30. His drinking, his philandering, money problems, quite a bit. But never, at least in the people I spoke to, no one ever brought up that he would force himself on someone. Off topic, everyone, like I said. Well, maybe you should have interviewed Heidi Doyle.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to what he said, I allowed my personal life and the lives of my wife and children to be turned upside down for one reason. Whether it be good or bad, even the really bad, the truth has to matter even in wrestling. My issues have been well documented over my 40-year career. The impact of drinking too much, which nearly killed me 5 years ago, has been told time and time again. The reason Rory... or anyone else for that matter, never heard stories of me forcing myself on anyone is simple. It never happened. So Ric Flair is still denying that he did this. Now, what I find very interesting about this is Ric Flair is not denying that he was naked on that plane whipping his dick around. What he is denying is that he forcibly... had anybody touch his penis. So, again, you know, all right, you know, I exposed myself on the street. I exposed myself in my car, you know, but I didn't have the girls walking by touch it. You know, I didn't forcibly... You see where I'm going with this? Like, there's no excuse for it. I mean, he vehemently denied the forcible. Okay, all right. in Rick's head, there's the three words again that Tommy should have said. In Rick's head, you're just being nature boy. You're just, that's Rick. If you know Rick, he's got a big dick. He likes to whip it around. And when he has a couple of drinks, he whips it around. But it's innocent. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. That's the phrase. That's why Tommy is in trouble, in my opinion. Because there's no excuse to justify any of this behavior. Just because you don't have grab somebody's hand and put it there doesn't mean that you did nothing wrong. And Rick's statement is what's absent about this. He doesn't take back all of the naked escapades and all this other crazy shit. As long as he didn't forcibly touch anybody, you know, then he feels he did no wrong. Because if he felt he did something wrong, then why is it absent in that statement?
Yeah, but
I'm not crucifying the guy now, because this is all we talked about this in 02.
I know.
05, I know, 6, 11.
Look, just because Ric Flair thinks it's okay to do what he did, and in his mind does not feel that he did anything wrong, and did not force himself on anyone, because in his heyday, he was just horsing around. The reality is that the times have changed. The way that we treat each other has changed. What is considered, you know, inappropriate in 2021 may have been appropriate, or not even appropriate, but may have been more accepted in 1970s and 1980s. So that doesn't mean that his past actions were correct. And it doesn't mean that because he denies something, he's right. If anything, it just means that he's stuck in a frame of mind from an age in the past. And unfortunately, because of that, he can actually say with conviction that he didn't do anything wrong. However, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of his peers, that's absolutely not the case.
Yeah, see, if he would have just said, now, I never forcibly had anybody touch my genitals, but all my other behavior, I look back on it and I'm ashamed. I feel like I'm watching a movie. I think everybody would have been like, hey, man, he's going to be 80 years old in the very near future. You know, like, all right, you know, he realizes now it wasn't. But, you know, people need to understand something. When people are writing it off in 2002, we're talking about a man in his 50s. We're not talking about a 16-year-old or a college kid where their hormones are raging and they're just drunk and they're just, you know, stripping naked just for laughs. We're talking about a guy in his 50s.
Yeah.
So that's the thing what a lot of people don't understand. And look, I feel bad that, you know, some people, you know, still think, in this day and age, that's Rick. What does that mean?
It means he's an old grandpa and set in his ways.
Dirty that's grandpa?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know what I mean? I mean, he's looked at as a filthy old man. Nobody looks at Rick and says, oh, he's a hip young guy. No, no. Ric Flair, right now, probably by many of his peers, is looked at as just a filthy old man.
Pretty interesting when you look back at that Lacey Evans storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little on the nose, isn't it? little reverse action there. No.
Roger Rubio, thank you very much, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for that super chat. Very kind of you. $5 super chat.
Thank you, sir.
$5 super chat from Sean KB. Thank you for your generosity, my friend. Blue checkmark wrestling Twitter lost their minds when they saw Flair's statement in the car commercial. Take note, when we said over the weekend, Mish and I broke it, that WWE was seriously considering removing him from the intro, the audio, we never mentioned CarShield. CarShield over the weekend talked a good game. CarShield still only has 1,100 followers on Twitter. CarShield is a shit company. CarShield is low-budget warranties. Any of you out there ever get those flyers in the mail, your car warranty's expiring, and you think that it's a legitimate thing, and then you find out it's an advertisement? Ever get an automated phone call, your phone rings, you pick it up, your car warranty. That twice. Is what car shield
is. I got it twice today. The automated car warranty bullshit, DT.
That is what car shield is. Today. Yeah. Car shield. Do you cover helicopters? For real? You're like Goodfellas. Helicopters. No, but seriously, it's a shit. It's a shit.
Sandwiches.
It's a shit company. And this idea, we've pulled their ads. Pulled them from what? What'd you do? You yanked them? You jerked them off the air? Pulled what? They didn't pull nothing. They tried to come off like, and then they realized, like, what are we apologizing for? Everybody knew this Rick stuff already. They just, I'm not re-crucifying Rick because we did this at least half a dozen times over the years. But this statement is missing a lot of parts in it, and I think Rick was probably better off just keeping his mouth shut because he didn't help himself. So anyway, I think everybody lost their shit, Sean, to be honest with you. Scott Woodford, 1 hour interview with Tommy. Is that what they did? Wow, they interviewed him for an hour?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, thank you, Scott. I knew it was like a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour. That's even kind of more gross. I mean, you think about it. Look, and I'm not saying that this falls on the shoulders of the guys running Dark Side of the Ring, but when you think about an hour of dialogue and the only thing that you pull out is the absolute worst parts of what someone said, at what point do you look at the show and look at the episode that was produced and see it for what it actually is? Yeah. It was a slam piece. It was a piece to create drama, to get ratings, which it failed, by the way. But it was meant to create a buzz, a stir. That it did do, not in a positive way, but in a negative one, excuse me. So when I see stuff like Tommy Dreamer's statements on the show and stuff like that, and his apologies and knowing that Tommy Dreamer's past is pretty good for the most part. Yeah, he's had some issues, but for the most part, Tommy Dreamer is not a troublemaker. He's not a bad person. And you see what they posted. It's kind of like, look, news media has been accused of doing this for years, for taking things out of context or taking the worst parts of an interview and using it as their hook. You know what I mean? This isn't new. This is something that's been going on forever. So the fact that Dark Side of the Ring did that with Ric Flair and Tommy Dreamer doesn't surprise me, man.
Yeah. Rye Baker, the $4.99, the Fiverr. Thank you very much for the super chat, my friend.
I will see Rye Baker at AAW when Sandman shows up because he's coming around local.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I'll see Rye Baker at AAW Pro.
Absolutely cool. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Much love.
As we said earlier, Scott, I don't think the Dark Side of the Ring guys are terrible. But like I said, when they try to push that, we lost sleep over this episode. Yeah. No, you lose sleep over this episode.
Come on,
the
man.
Fuck out of here. You lost sleep because people. You were excited. You thought you fucking got hit gold.
Right. They're not terrible people. They're just every other news outlet in the fucking U.S. That's what they are. They're just like everybody else. There's nothing exemplary about them to make them worse than anybody else. They're just playing the same shitty game that all these other companies play.
Before I get to, we can answer Cruiserweight now. And I want to talk about Owen Hart.
Fucking, sending that, what was it, like $15 in super chats for us? Much love, dude. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Cruiserweight. Why does WWE keep giving Shayna time? She's 41.
She's
a lot younger
old,
than a lot of other people that are getting a lot of TV time.
She's dying. Didn't you know at 41, it's just time to get in the box? At 41 years old, it's time to start picking out your plot. The fuck are you talking about, crazy? 41. That woman is in better shape than I'm sure many of the girls you know at her age.
I freaking love Shayna Baszler.
I am a big fan
of Shayna Baszler.
She's an MMA athlete. She's a good athlete. She is a good, strong figure for WWE. Why the hell would you want to get rid of her? And what, have more Nia Jax matches? Like, what is the alternative there? Get rid of Shayna because
get rid of Shayna. Put Dana. Give Dana Brooke Shayna's time. It's not about the over 30 cruiserweight. It's about how they used.
Yeah.
I mean, I do fault some of WWE with the way they use Shayna Baszler, but you know, I don't know if you watch much.
Her appeal is she's a badass.
Yeah, and she was awesome in NXT.
Badass than anybody else on that roster. She's a more believable badass to me than Becky Lynch is, and she's supposed to be the man. I'm sorry, Shayna is the best thing left over since Ronda left.
And a little plea from Cruiserweight to everyone who does this, because I know Mish and I don't.
Just did it.
While you compared the Attitude Era?
Okay, well, look, here's how I compared it. I said it's just like the days when we used to watch WCW television and WWE, and we'd flip back and forth.
That's not the content. That's the excitement. And that's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
That's what's missing these days.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's a great comparison. Fans today who did not experience the Attitude Era live don't understand how excited people were to watch wrestling every Monday night. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that you have to structure the hot lesbian action kind of matches and have pudding matches and strap matches. Well, you can't say strap anymore. Vince McMahon put a ban on that word. But at the same time, it's like there is plenty of reasons to be excited about wrestling in 2021. As of the last month or so, 2 months, it feels like we've turned a corner. And I'm not going to jump on the Jeff Jarrett, it's a wrestling boom, but gosh dang it, Bobby, it is a good time to be a wrestling fan.
It's fun.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been fun. Why can't we have fun, crazy? Why can't we have fun watching matches?
I said this before, you know, a couple of times, you know, back during the Monday Night Wars. I don't even call it Attitude Era. I call it Monday Night Wars. Even if you were a WCW diehard or WWF diehard or ECW diehard, or maybe you just liked indies, the one thing that is different these days is back in the day, we used to all brag that we were all wrestling fans. So when wrestling would pop a crazy rating, you didn't have Nitro fans saying, well, we were 45% of it. You were only slightly higher. No, we were just like, yo, man, fucking wrestling is dominating. Fucking how awesome is this shit? That is what's different of now compared to yesteryear. AEW gets a rating from Rampage, which we could bring up now, 642,000, which is down 43% since August 20th. Yeah, I did a little fun. I did this myself. That's why nobody retweeted it, because then they're forced to give me credit. That's why nobody brings it up. I took the first five XFL episodes on ABC in 2020, and I compared it. I didn't choose the first AEW Rampage because that was the introduction. The first dance is where I started it, which was the second week. And let me just show you the comparisons. AEW's first week after the first dance, their ratings dropped 36%. XFL's second week dropped 36%. AEW's second week following the first dance dropped a total of 38%. The second week of XFL dropped 38%. So if you look at the percentages, AEW down 36%, down 38%, down 41%, down 43%. XFL down 36%, 38%, 45%, 53%. The point is, you could go in the annals of history, sports, regular shows, TVs, crime dramas, and you will find where the newness, that new car smell starts to wear off. And you will see 4 or 5 weeks in a row at the beginning, the ratings dropping. We said all along that Rampage will settle somewhere between 550 and 750 because it is a late Friday night. It is a late Friday night. Just because you're epic, unbelievable, I could die tomorrow, and I saw Adam Cole in AEW, now I could rest easy. you know, your attitude feels that way. On a Friday night, pro wrestling, no matter who is on TV, is not, you know, tremendously drop everything I do, not go out and watch wrestling instead. And this proves the point that Mish and I have been saying since the first week of CM Punk, that a majority of CM Punk fans were already AEW fans, and a majority of AEW fans were already CM Punk fans. You did not have a boatload of CM Punk fans that were not AEW or WWE fans that were just sitting on the sideline saying, oh my God, I don't watch wrestling at all right now, but if CM Punk comes back, then I'll watch it. It's proven to be incorrect. Last week's ratings overall, all right, let's look at last week. Raw last week went down 9%. Rampage went down 4%. SmackDown went down 6%. Impact went down 6%. AEW Dynamite went down 11%. The only show last week that increased was NXT, and NXT went up 28%.
Yep.
And what? Why was that? The curiosity factor. NXT 2.0, you know, all these pastel colors.
They've been hyping it up for a month, and they got the, you know, whether you liked it or not, you wanted to see what the hell they would do with all those new colors and the new logo. And you're right.
So
it was the curiosity factor.
There's no concern for Rampage. These are the people that can't accept it are the people that think they was going to do 1.8 million viewers. That they think everybody.
Well, the funniest thing, though, too, is let me explain something too about this ratings war that's been going on, which is absolutely fucking hilarious to me on so many different levels. When you're splitting hairs about 100,000 people and making it sound like it's the difference between night and day between your company last week and your company this week, it's amazing to me that none of these fanatics think that there are fans that watch WWE and AEW. Like, that's almost sacrilege. Do you know what I mean? Because they'll sit there and go, well, AEW fans are up 100,000 this week and WWE is down. Well, does that just mean that the AEW and WWE fans didn't feel like watching both shows back to back? Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Oh, you're not going to watch 2 hours of SmackDown and then another hour of Rampage on a Friday night. What? What kind of wrestling fan are
you? This is what angers me the most right now about wrestling. I'm watching Raw tonight, and I'm entertained as fuck. And I am enjoying it tremendously. And I know I'm not alone because I see the crowd loud, proud, and enjoying it, eating up. It wasn't piped in stuff. And and there's a lot of bitter bitches online that refuse to accept that. They can't accept it.
Well, they don't want WWE.
They don't want to accept it. They want WWE to fail. Period. Right.
They have a personal gripe for whatever reason to shit all over WWE, to shit over Vince, to shit over the fact that WWE's been around for so long that it's time for a change. Dude, Charlotte Flair, the most hated woman on the roster, the one that everybody talks about, that she's garbage, she's toxic. Why does Charlotte Flair have the title? She went out there and was dropping truth bombs all over Alexa Bliss's career. And there were people in the audience wooing and cheering her. The person that everybody wants off TV. And they were all cheering for her live at the show. Why? Because Charlotte Flair is a draw. We talked about this before. She's always in the top five segments every time of the night of Raw for like the last, 4 or 5 weeks? Every single time Charlotte goes out there, no matter how much people complain and bitch and we fucking hate her, why is she always in the top five?
So we could talk about that segment now. I enjoyed the segment. The only thing I did not enjoy about it is when Alexa Bliss, and I know I guarantee almost every single one of you tuning in is going to agree with me when I say this. When Alexa Bliss started talking like the regular Alexa Bliss, forget Funhouse and all this other stuff, and she was going to throw out truth bombs of her own. When she actually said, well, let's talk some truth, Charlotte, I expected Ric Flair jabs to be all over that promo.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, she's like, I am, you know, like you're insecure and without the title.
Who is Charlotte Flair without a title? She's Charlotte Flair. Stupid. That's what I wanted to say. Who is Charlotte Flair without a title? She's the daughter of Ric Flair, you fucking idiot. Like, that was the dumbest take that Alexa Bliss could have. Matter of fact, tonight, Charlotte looked great out there, DT. She was dropping truth bombs, talking about Alexa Bliss's career, that the only way she can get over is with a stupid doll. The fact that she used to be a competitor and she used to be a champion, and now all she is just a failed gimmick. Oh, I fucking loved it.
Tickle, tickle,
Charlotte was just shooting from the hip tonight. And Alexa Bliss came back with nothing but that stupid bullshit about who is Charlotte Flair without a title. Fuck. Great stuff, man. No wonder the audience cheered for it. Charlotte Flair was above and beyond tonight.
By the way, I know I did this Saturday night, but again, you know, props to someone within WWE that sent me a bunch of these. We'll give some away next week, but I opened it up and I'm not into dolls, but I'm very surprised at how good quality this stuff is. I mean, seriously. I mean, yes, the buttons are sewed in, but these are plastic. They're not felt. They actually, if you look close, they are skulls. I don't know if you could see them all that close, but this is pleather. You know, nothing removes. So you can't play, you know, perverted Bliss. You know, you can't, like, undress it or anything like that. But even this, extremely soft, well put together. Yeah, I just realized these are little rubber bands. But not bad. Not bad. If anybody was thinking about buying this for yourself, for your nephew and your niece, little piece to put in your backdrop, honestly, I think it's well worth it. For real. Not even kidding. But, you know, but that I like the back and forth tonight. Let me say it like this. Do I want to see Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte in a match? No. When Alexa Bliss says, you know, you used to come out there 5 feet of fury, you used to come out holding a belt, now you hold the stupid doll. It's true. I mean, it's really true, but I don't want to see
Alexa Bliss. You know what the problem is, though, too? All she did tonight and all she did last time, DT, was jump on Charlotte Flair's back.
Yes.
You know what this tells me? This tells me that for all this time that she's been doing the Bray Wyatt gimmick, for the last 2 years, Alexa Bliss has not been practicing her craft. She hasn't tried anything new in wrestling. She hasn't learned anything. This is literally a woman getting by in the WWE based upon her looks. Alexa Bliss is the last thing and last person you want to represent the company. Charlotte Flair, whether you like her or hate her, you have to admit, she's out there every week wrestling. She's out there every week doing it. Alexa Bliss hasn't done shit in years and hasn't learned anything. And if we see the match, which we will, between Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, it's going to be Charlotte covering up all of Alexa Bliss's mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even think that's in question. But, you know, I think they have done as good of a job as possible to hype up this match. Now, I was joking about this earlier. I don't know if I actually downloaded the picture. Let me see if I did. Yeah, I actually did. Okay. You know, I said, you know, expect stipulations to be added to the matches. And as of right now, the only stipulation that's been added is Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor is an Extreme Rules match. Expect the Usos to get involved. Expect clusterfucks, no question. But there are going to be more stips added to some of the other matches. If I was WWE, yes, you update it to 2021 standards, but if there was ever a time to bring this back for Extreme Rules, bring back the wheel. Bring back the freaking wheel. Spin the wheel. Just surprise stipulations. You know, you could pre-record the backstage segments so you get
the wheel, make the deal.
I would love to see them say, you know, mystery stipulations. We're going to spin the wheel. I would love that, man. I'd love to see the wheel brought back. I'm a little surprised that they haven't. Yeah. Very quickly, main event results this week. Cedric Alexander over Lindsay Dorado, Karrion Kross over Ricochet, and as we talked about earlier, the you know, Keith Lee had that dark match, and we already talked about, you know, the Bearcat, you know, and Bearcat Wright. So we'll see. Look, it can end up having nothing to do with Bearcat Wright. I have a feeling it does, though. And that's why I'm going to keep my comments to that and take a wait-and-see approach. And if it is a tribute to Bearcat Wright, yeah, I'm totally for it. Totally for it. So I want to mention this really quick, and then we could wrap up Raw and get out of here. Owen Hart. AEW issued a press release today that AEW and the Owen Hart Foundation, which is a nonprofit charity, which I'm sure you are all aware about, they're going to be collaborating. They're going to launch an Owen Hart annual cup tournament. And the winner of the tournament will receive a cup called the Owen. And they're also going to come out with some merchandise. They haven't said if it's going to be the proceeds or the profits. There is a big difference. Proceeds mean any money raised from the sales of the merchandise goes to the Owen Hart Foundation. Profits means that only the profits go to the Owen Hart Foundation. They're going to make him a playable character in the video game. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's beautiful. If I could criticize a few people out there, which I don't even think is needed, but I watched a lot of people out there that I honestly, truthfully know are fake. That will just write what is nice to get the attention. And they're like, oh my God, I can't wait for an Owen Hart AEW shirt. Owen Hart shirt comes out. I've been waiting for one for years. I can't wait for one to come out. And as I'm reading this over and over and over again, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this and this and this and this and that. I don't know why. And that and this and that, this and that and this and a this and a that and a that and a this and a this and a that and a. Look how many shirts are out right now with the proceeds going to the Owen Hart Foundation. Look, mugs too. It's been available on Pro Wrestling Tees for how many months?
Yeah.
Everyone, show me the merchandise. Show me your purchases. I'm not saying for everybody here. I'm just saying, like, these people, when that AEW shirt comes out, I always wanted an Owen Hart shirt, you know. Buy it now. What are you waiting for?
Right. You're right.
But I love that AEW, because look, you know, when people are saying, wow, Martha Hart's a hypocrite, she never would let Owen in the Hall of Fame, but now she's allowing AEW to celebrate his career. Well, guess what? I think Martha Hart will take to her grave the bitter hatred to Vince McMahon and the WWF at the time for what happened to Owen.
Yes.
No,
absolutely.
You know, some people think time heals all wounds. Not for everybody. If a company caused one of my most beloved family members' death, I don't even care if it's a settlement. Chances are I'm never going to ever have any faith in that. No, I can't find any fault with Owen, with Martha Hart. And the fact that a new generation of fans, because remember, Owen Hart has been passed now for over 20 years. Right. So there is a whole new generation of fans that never got to see Owen Hart wrestle live on TV or in person. So a new generation is being reintroduced to Owen Hart, and that's a wonderful thing. There is zero negative about this. Zero. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Do we have any ideas of what the Owen Hart story is going to consist of?
I didn't see anything with a story. They're going to do a tournament. They're going to have merchandise. They're going to put him in a video game. Basically,
right.
How I interpreted it.
Isn't there going to be some kind of like a, I thought there was going to be some kind of a collaboration as well, though, too.
No, well, that's, to me, you know how I interpret it. I could be wrong. But how I interpret it is what the Owen Hart Foundation did with Pro Wrestling Tees and Dark Side of the Ring, they're now doing with AEW.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think that's probably the easiest way to explain it.
Right, right.
So that's how I look at it. So 22 years. Thank you, Garth. It's 22 years since he tragically died. So so let's finish up talking about Raw a little bit. There's three photos that I took from Raw tonight. The first one is Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash winning the WWE Women's Tag Titles. I expect them to be facing Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox, maybe even in Extreme Rules, which would be a great thing. It could still be the three-way, as we talked about before. Love the photo. Love that this storyline actually seems to be fitting in a little bit better now. They didn't need Connor's Cure to do that. I think it's been fitting in better the last couple of weeks. The second photo that I was left with tonight was this one. And I'm sorry that it's a little bit small, but, you know, whatever. Randy Orton had a kick-ass match with AJ Styles tonight. And towards the end of the match, AJ Styles was outside the ring on the apron. And AJ Styles was going to jump off the top rope and hit Randy Orton with the Phenomenal Forearm. Randy Orton, at the same time, was expecting it and was going to hit the RKO to AJ Styles. So yeah, as they're both about to execute what they believe is their finisher, they stopped. And they pointed at each other, like, I caught you. And everybody and their mother immediately thought of this infamous photo with Spider-Man and Spider-Man. So I think some people out there will remember that photo. But AJ Styles and Randy, we'll talk about AJ and Orton in a minute. But the third photo that stuck with me all night long that I thought was awesome, and honestly, you know, for people that are like, oh, WWE say his name, they actually have, and they actually name dropped Brody Lee on their social media a couple of days ago. But for tonight's episode, the one photo that I'm left with is this one.
Yeah.
When the New Day opened up Raw and Big E paying tribute to his fallen friend, and, you know, not even Luke Harper chants, just Brody, Brody. Like, that's right. The thing I think is so wonderful about it. It's not an AEW name, so to speak, but the fact that everybody has accepted Brody. Like, you know that deep down, Vince McMahon probably would like, that's Luke Harper, damn it. No, I think the fact that everybody chants Brody is... Yeah, it was a really nice gesture.
Yeah. It was a very touching moment, too, and it came out of nowhere. I mean, it was touching to see him come out there and thank everybody and stuff like that, but when he thanked Brody, that caught me off guard, I'll be honest, you know, so.
Yeah, but, you know, the New Day get confronted by the Bloodline. Roman Reigns comes out with the Usos and Paul Heyman. We have that nice confrontation in the middle of the ring. A little bit of back and forth on both sides, which was awesome. And we open up Raw tonight with the six-man tag match. And, you know, as we said at the beginning of the show, Roman Reigns, he ends up getting the pin twice tonight. But Big E's brand new champion. Roman Reigns has earned, and he's the top dog, pun intended. So Big E tonight, what was designed about tonight was to give everybody a fantasy match, which no, could not happen in Survivor Series if one tag team is champions and the other tag team is not. They gave us a fantasy match tonight that originally was supposed to be the dark match main event. A lot of people still don't even understand that Roman Reigns and the Usos were not going to the UK. So that's why they were going to Raw. Nah, I got to see.
Also, let me throw this out here, too. And you got to paint this picture as well. They're planting seeds, DT. They're planting seeds for future storylines and future angles that are going to continue on even past Extreme Rules. That's what this is. So, yes, you got to see Roman Reigns. You got to see the blood. You got to see New Day. But the reality was, tonight was more than just about giving everybody a fantasy match. It was also about planting the seeds for what we're going to see down the road.
Yes. Some we saw tonight, I mean, is designed for the draft. I mean, some people that you're seeing now, and I don't want to go a little too far ahead, but the bloodline, my God, there was one part in that match, man, Kofi selling what the way he was selling to Roman Reigns. There was one point in the match where Roman Reigns throws Kofi into the announcer's table. Then he throws Kofi into the ring post, and then he launches Kofi over the announcer's table. I mean, Kofi got the shit kicked out of him in this match. Crowd ate it up, and that's why, like I said earlier, this crowd tonight was awesome. And I enjoyed the entire show, and I'm sorry, even for the most, you know, stringent AEW fan, I'm watching an entertaining Raw. I'm watching some great matches. I'm listening to a crowd that is freaking into it. They're having a great time. Shit ain't being piped in. And then I see people online that are trying to convince me that it sucks. That it should suck. That even though it's good, like I said earlier, you know, you're taking... You want your kids, your family, you know, you want to go see Raw or it's coming to your town. You're not going to go because they're hot-shotting matches.
They just want you to hate the same things that they do, TT. That's all it is. God. They want you to feel the same hatred that they do. They want you to stand in line with them. That's what it's all about. As opposed to you enjoying what you enjoy, as opposed to having an actual honest criticism about the show. They won't even give it a chance. They won't even give it a chance.
Now,
but they want you to stand with them.
Now, even though it was a six-man tag, I'm a little confused about this. Bobby Lashley comes out, and he just beats the balls off of everybody. I mean, I guess he didn't beat the balls off of Roman Reigns early on. But Bobby Lashley takes out members of the New Day, takes out members of the, you know, the Usos, both Usos.
I loved it.
And, you know, Kofi gets put through a table. The referee doesn't call for the bell. I mean, I know they weren't the legal men in the match, but why didn't they call for a DQ when Lashley did everything he did?
I'm not sure. I think it's probably because they're sowing the seeds. You know what I mean? Look, one of the things that me and you even had conversations about was the bad tropes of referees. The things that referees miss. I've said this multiple times over the years that referees are probably some of the biggest unchecked problem in mainstream wrestling. It's different when you're on the independents. It's different when you're on smaller shows. It is what it is. A lot of those tropes are what referees need to do in order to get those crowds in there. But when you're talking about a mainstream show with complex storylines that involve 40 to 80 writers, when you're talking about how the matches are structured and the fact that these guys are supposed to help wrestlers get through their match, seem to completely misunderstand their role. And we can go to Aubrey over in AEW, but in this scenario, it's the exact same thing. Instead of the ref coming out there and trying to DQ or stopping this from happening or trying to stop Bobby Lashley, instead of doing any of that, they'd rather just ignore it.
See, if that was
an of it to us it's a simple way to create a storyline from that. But the reality is it breaks down the realism of the match and the enjoyment of the match because there's no control.
WWE back in the day would do that. It was common everyday occurrence. AEW does that now. So maybe WWE is going back to that a little bit where you'll relax the rules a little bit more. You know. So I'm not complaining.
I don't know.
You know? I mean,
I don't know, but there's other things, though, too, because I can't sit there and knock all the referee decisions, because look at how they did with AJ and Omos. I love that. AJ, I know we'll get to that match, the tag team match down with RK-Bro. And, well, I shouldn't even say RK-Bro. It was Randy versus AJ with Omos and Riddle on the outside.
Yeah, we can talk about that now.
But I mean, okay, well, there you go. There's a good example of a ref getting involved and making sense. Almost fucking tripped up Randy Orton. The ref didn't see it, but he saw Randy's reaction. And he turned around and basically said, are you fucking with him? And Randy's like, come on, ref, what are you doing? You know, and then the ref goes back over. It looks like he was talking to somebody else. And then he comes back over to Omos and says, get the fuck out. Get out. You know, like and how, that was exactly how a referee should handle that.
I like how Omos, like, Riddle's laughing at him, you know, like waving him goodbye. And Omos is like, oh, yeah, he fucking forearms him, just lays him out. I mean, Riddle. Yeah, and
Riddle did so well. He
sells,
crumbled
man.
Up in the corner. Oh, my God.
He sells great. He fucking flew backwards. I mean, it reminded me of that scene in Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox with the guitar at the beginning, and he hits that one note, and he gets thrown back to the speaker. Right. It was a great match, and man, AJ Styles and Randy Orton
Randy, can you tell that Randy is happy again? Because he's putting on some great matches. AJ stuff outside of the ring, you know, magically popping out these forearms outside of the ring out of nowhere. Great stuff, great back and forth. Enjoyed the fact that they started off the match with a hold. I was like, wow, that's something you don't see every day, but it was a good match. You know, it's a good back and forth. They told a good story. And once again, I want to see more. Yeah. I want to see more AJ and Omos. I want to see more RK-Bro. These four guys are telling a fantastic story, and they're doing phenomenal stuff right now. I think it was a little bit overshadowed tonight by Roman Reigns and the Usos being on Raw, and obviously the setup with Big E and Bobby Lashley. But hell, it's not. There's nothing wrong with being number two. There's nothing wrong with being the second most important storyline on the show, you know?
I agree. By the way, I'm sorry for my video friends out there. You might have seen me yawn once or twice tonight. I had a very rough day at the office today, and I got to get up super early tomorrow, so I am extremely exhausted. You have no idea. I mean, like, really tired. It's all good. It's all good.
But, I mean, it's already 12:30. I mean, people understand the yawn at 12:30.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, for me, I never yawn, so not this early.
I yawn all the time.
I know, but you don't understand. You know, earlier it was kind of rough. Oh, by the way, all right, I'm going to disappoint some people now. Goldberg toothpaste, 1998, 23 years old.
Gross.
It's got the ring. It's sealed inside.
Gross.
It's pretty cool. It's got the ring still. We will open this bad boy on Thursday. I have some other candy. I have WWF Attitude Gum.
Does it taste like 300 people used it before you?
You know what? Thursday, I mentioned this Saturday. Thursday, I had the WWF gummies, and we can confirm that was Sable that I ate the other day. I know that doesn't sound right, but and we also had the crazy dips, which surprised me. That surprised me. After the show was over, my throat hurt a little bit. But I honestly think it was just strain from talking all week. I don't think it had anything to do with the candy. But somebody is sending me a bottle of Buff Bagwell NWO hot sauce. And he emailed me the label, and it talks about how Buff Bagwell is a proud member of the White group or the White gang. It was talking about NWO, but the White.
Yes.
It's pretty funny. I don't know if I'm going to eat 23-year-old hot sauce, though. But, the toothpaste, I'll whip it open Thursday. We'll see if this toothpaste still tastes like toothpaste. What's this flavor? Bubblegum. Bubblegum flavor. You know, this was supposed to be bubblegum also. See, bubblegum. Wait, why is there a strawberry on the bottom?
It's a strawberry.
Yeah, I thought it tasted like orange.
Tastes like crackling dip.
I'm still waiting on it. Somebody is sending me a box of Ultimate Warrior cereal from 1991. So apparently I'm going to turn into the Steve MRE of wrestling.
Yeah, you are. You're going to be the wrestling MRE guy.
If it smells horrible, I don't know what rancid tastes like, but now I'm starting to watch videos.
Thank goodness you kind of lost your your smell and your taste buds a little bit, right?
I don't know.
That's a joke.
I know. But yeah, we're gonna see. But yeah, I'm gonna hold this till Thursday because tonight we, you know, start. There's so much to talk about. Obviously, we ran running a little bit late.
Right.
But yeah, so if you want to see how that went down on Thursday, go check it out. So,
sorry about the yawn.
No
shit. Talking about yawns now. I'm yawning.
Doudrop squashes Eva Marie once again, and she proclaims that evolution is over. Is evolution over, Mish, or are we going to possibly get what we talked about the other day, that Eva will be managing someone else to squash Doudrop?
I mean, it very well could be. She did dye everything pink. She didn't go all red everything, but she did take a step in the right direction and went all pink everything, which was a little bit more of a flashback to the Eva that we actually enjoyed back in the day. I think evolution is done. I personally want it to be done. I think Eva as a valet could be very interesting. I think Eva away from Doudrop is what they need to do right now. Piper Niven needs to get rid of that stupid name. And I know, everybody's saying that's not going to happen. But when you weigh out the idea that the Doudrop name was part of the gimmick between her, or part of the angle between her and Eva Marie, it makes perfect sense for her to get rid of it as opposed to adopting it as her name.
Absolutely.
Piper Niven has a lot of potential to go up against a lot of different girls right now in a women's division that needs new talent. Matter of fact, I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit before, but if they split these two up and put Eva on one brand and Doudrop on another, I'd be okay with that as well.
Did any of us draft Eva the other day? I think you did, right? Yeah, you said Eva Marie to SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Right. I have a feeling Eva Marie is going to make. I think Eva's going to manage Shayna Baszler or Nia if Nia doesn't go to SmackDown.
Oh, no, not Shayna. Jesus Christ. Neither of those girls. Shayna needs a mouthpiece, but Eva Marie trying to, beautify Shayna, make her. Like, Shayna doesn't need anybody. What Shayna needs right now is to be by herself. I don't want Shayna to be controlled by someone else. We don't need another Reggie situation. You know, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Shayna, as we said earlier, Shayna Baszler beat Nia Jax. Crowd was pretty flat on this. And I think
Till the end.
What?
Till the end.
I mean, Shayna Baszler... at one point there was a little bit of trying to tease a little bit of the shoot slaps and everything, but
Shayna, the kicks were great.
The kicks
were
awesome. She
just busted out of the corner. Nia tried to force her into the corner, tried to use her weight in order to capitalize on Shayna, and Shayna all of a sudden started busting out with like these high knee kicks to the face, to the head, and then all of a sudden she was taking knee shots to the body. Like, she reversed it and it was like, oh, wait a minute. That's right. Shayna knows how to fight. Jesus Christ. We forgot all this because she's been second fiddle to Nia for so long. And it was really interesting tonight, too. And I'll give both girls credit. I loved the shit talking.
Yes.
I loved the shit talking in the match. Once again, this is something that Kevin Owens does fantastically. This is something that Cesaro does. Seth Rollins, it's probably one of the few things that he does that's really good that I enjoy. But I like the idea that when people are fighting, people are having wrestling matches that are a little bit more grudge-based than just a regular standard exhibition. You shit talk. Of course you're going to shit talk somebody. That's how this works. The wrestling game is more than just physical attributes. It's more than just physical talent. It's also the ability to fuck with somebody's head. That's what's wrestling, you know? And it's like sometimes WWE seems to forget that. Sometimes a lot of the talent doesn't seem to be very aware of how many different factors settle into a wrestling match. And it's something that's been forgotten by the fans, too. So I enjoyed Shayna sitting there, or Nia saying, you know, you're not the best. I'm the best. I'm number one. I'm the whole reason that you exist. You didn't even function before I existed. And Shayna's sitting there getting more and more pissed off until she lost her shit. It made sense. It was good psychology.
Checking to see. No, nobody posted screenshots of my nose earlier. Nope. Looking at it now. I was just checking it out.
You pissed off a couple people, I'm hearing.
Oh, that's all right. I was supposed to prove a point that I look ridiculous and that is unacceptable. Just because someone doesn't touch it doesn't mean you should do that. That was my point.
You were being tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. Which is a lot of people claim that they miss.
You know what? Don Tony used to do that all the time, guys. I don't see a problem with it. It wasn't like he was putting the nose on to physically accost anyone. We know better.
No, it was a long Pinocchio nose. It wasn't a dick. I picked it before. I know. I'm just saying, everyone. It was a nose that it looked at. What was that Geico commercial? I want you all to know that you are good people. You are. There was something like that. I used to do that commercial perfectly. I can't remember. He's like a motivational speech.
Yeah, that was the gingerbread man from Shrek on the Geico commercial.
Was that? Yeah. Okay. All right. I didn't check Patreon messages yet, Joe, tonight. There was so much going on and preparing for the show and trying to get that software to work so I could do the nose tonight. I mean, that took me probably about 2 hours to get configured. And that's not even my normal webcam. So, no, I will check it tonight because I got to put round three up for the comfort food tournament. But I'll look later.
Yeah.
So, but thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Joe, I'll check it out later for sure. But Shayna Baszler beating Nia Jax. And then after the match, like we said before, Shayna just continues the assault. And again, it was a little confusing because Shayna came off as a monster heel. Maybe that's what WWE designed. I just don't see Nia Jax. Like, having both of them heels, I don't really think helps the situation unless one gets drafted to SmackDown. Then they could both be assholes.
Don't you feel like Nia got a lot of sympathy tonight being beaten like that? Do you think that it was enough sympathy for people to kind of push her towards more of the baby face? Or are we just looking at this as this was two heels with Shayna being more so of the heel
It's hard to say. Because we don't even know. I mean, they could end up with an Extreme Rules match. Or they could end up that Nia is out for an extended period of time. So there's so much unknown with that. It's so hard to say. I mean, we might end up finding out, oh, no, Nia ends up, she's okay, and she wants to kill Shayna on Sunday. You know, so I think it's going to all come down to if they have a match at Extreme Rules or not. So
I think they do, don't they?
No, as of right now, no. No.
Okay.
I could pull up the card before. And by the way, I'll do predictions.
No, I believe you. I thought I saw something earlier.
No, I didn't see anything for Sunday. No.
Right.
I'll be doing predictions for Extreme Rules on Saturday, everyone. By then, we'll have Friday in the books, and we'll see if the women end up having a tag title match at the pay-per-view. And we might have some stips added beforehand. Tag team, you and I last week, we had a conversation, and we said, give us Humberto Carrillo and an Angel Garza versus Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. And sure enough, a week later, we get that very match. I loved it while it lasted. And in the end, Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, they get the win. I like how they gave a little background about the cousins, even though we knew that when they first came in. And if people remember my predictions, I think that Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo go to SmackDown. And who knows? Zelina Vega may end up managing them. They may end up. So don't forget that contest, everyone.
And real quick, Tony Gloves corrected me. It was the Pinocchio from Geico. I was wrong about the gingerbread man. Well, so
whatever.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I remember just the nose, like.
No, extended. You're right. It was the Pinocchio. And as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, okay. I think the voice was similar to the gingerbread man, but who knows? Maybe I'm totally off on that.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any Extreme Rules pay-per-view match for Nia and Shayna yet, but it could very well happen. But tonight we got to see Humberto and Angel Garza on the main roster as a tag team. Get a quick win over Mustafa Ali and Mansoor, which I think surprised everyone. My honest take on it, no worries. That is just for a week. Just to introduce those two guys back on the main roster, I think in a week and a half, we will see them drafted to SmackDown. That's all I think tonight was. I think tonight was to showcase them, give them a decent win over a formidable tag team in Ali and Mansoor. And I think that is just designed because this this draft, you will see them drafted to SmackDown. But I like the match tonight. I wish it was a little bit longer.
Yeah, it was a fine little exhibition.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash beat.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. They are the new WWE Tag Team Champions. And, you know, before the match, you know, just reminding everyone about Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month and, you know, anybody giving any criticism to Rhea. I just think that's wrong. Seriously. You're allowed to be human.
Well, everybody's got to point it out, you know. It is what it is. It's nice to see them as champions. This one, I'm not sure. I understood Natty and Tamina has kind of like run their course, but I felt that they could have done something with this at the pay-per-view. You know, I don't know. This one felt like it was not necessary, but whatever. I like Tamina and Natty, but they weren't doing much with this. I don't know what your thoughts are on Rhea and Ash just kind of getting in the middle of the week.
I'm confused about it, because if they end up having a match Sunday, then why, right, even if it was a three-way, why not just win the belts Sunday?
Right. No, I'm with you on that. I think that they were. This one might have been one of those, you know what, WWE hot shot in a little tonight, but I'm okay with it. I just thought that this one might have made more sense at the pay-per-view. Just my thoughts. I wasn't unhappy with the match. The match was fine. There was no shit about the match. The match was good, yeah, and it was interesting. Yeah. I just thought that maybe there would have been a little bit more of an escalated feeling at the pay-per-view.
But yeah. I guess, well, you know what? Now it seems to me that maybe they did not want to put a match with Shotzi and Knox on the pay-per-view. Because if they're not on the pay-per-view, then how does Rhea and Nikki Ash win the belts then? So it almost seems like maybe they just want to keep that match off the pay-per-view. I don't know. But I'm just confused. Right. But you know what? I look at it like this also. Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart are still very new to the main roster. NXT, Shotzi nailed it. Tegan was out injured. So they're still very new to the main roster. So in WWE's eyes, you know, maybe it's a little rushed to put them in a high-profile title match. So that might be the reason why we got this the way they did. Jeff Hardy over Sheamus. And once again, Sheamus's nose is busted open.
I know, this poor guy. This poor guy. Dude, I swear, his nose is just going to be full of nothing but cotton swabs for the rest of his life.
What is it?
That dude is, I don't know.
I mean, he's gotten his nose bloody a few times this year.
He's got boxer nose, I think, is what he's got. Like, isn't that the thing? Every time your nose breaks, the cartilage doesn't heal as thick as it used to. And so it becomes more and more fragile.
Yeah.
Maybe Sheamus has a long history that we don't even, that we're not even aware of how many times he's actually broken his nose. Yeah. Or maybe he's just getting unlucky shots. It's just, you know, it's just coming up in spades for him right now.
Jeff Hardy, the whole stipulation was if Jeff Hardy wins that match, he's added to the U.S. title match on Sunday. And sure enough, Jeff Hardy gets the win. You know, few people pointed out to me the last couple of days that Jeff Hardy, even in house shows, is tremendously over. He is much more over than people think. And it's cool to see Jeff Hardy still getting a little bit of acknowledgement. Look, there's no chance he's winning that belt. But add him to the match. Now, especially after what happened to Sheamus's nose, you're going to need a lot of Jeff Hardy versus Damian Priest in that match. But after the match is over, Sheamus goes at it with Damian Priest, and Sheamus is a tough mother. He is a tough son of a bitch, man. I just couldn't believe I looked up, and I'm like, is his nose bleeding again? And then I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell happened this time?
Yeah.
So he's going to have to put the mask back on. He's probably going to have to put the mask back on.
He's fine with the mask, so yeah. Do it.
Yeah. Karrion Kross, this is the final week, everyone. So next week is like the reintroduction of Karrion Kross. Expect a surprise. You know, it might take an extra week because of the draft. But what we've been saying, to give it 3 weeks, you'll see what we're talking about. So I think they've pretty much straightened out his character, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. So, yes, thank you, Nir. Everyone, if you're enjoying the episode, smash that like button.
Appreciate it.
Yes, we appreciate it very much, and it's free. Thank you for the super chat, Nir. Main event tonight, Big E versus Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns. As we said, opening up the show tonight, what was designed tonight is to show that Big E belongs. He's one of the most popular wrestlers currently today. He's obviously an integral part of New Day, which is one of the greatest tag teams in a lot of people's eyes. But as far as a heavyweight champion, they needed to show that Big E belongs. He belongs with Lashley, belongs with Roman Reigns, belongs that he can hang with those guys. And that's what tonight was designed about.
Yeah.
The six-man tag early on led up to the main event tonight. Bobby Lashley getting involved was designed to have a reason to put Bobby in the main event match tonight also. You had no antics for MVP, who is not on, and I'm sure there's a different reason behind that. But awesome match. I thought
it was some kind of pseudo-injury. Yeah. I thought we're still playing with the injury gimmick with MVP. So
awesome match tonight. Crowd chanted, this is awesome, multiple times. And these guys worked their freaking ass off. And look, let's give Roman Reigns a little credit, too, because, you know, this guy's been doing double duty on SmackDowns. John Cena, you know, has made a couple of appearances here and there, but even the Usos have been doing double duty. They compete on SmackDown, and then they work the after SmackDown dark match. That's not that easy, especially as an athlete, to work early. You'd get all tightened up and everything, and then you got to loosen up and have another match later on. So give Roman Reigns a hell of a lot of credit, because he did a lot today, including Bobby Lashley, but they both did a lot to help bring Big E up to the next level. So, you want to comment about Justin Spencer's remark? Justin Spencer has a message for Mish. Mish, we get it, you hate Bliss, but you can't deny she's a star or she's over with the crowd.
I can deny she's a star. I can absolutely deny she's a star. She's a merchandise seller. But you can't tell me that you're going to look at Bliss and go, oh, that's the career of a Hall of Famer. My goodness, that Bliss. Do you remember all those five-star classics that Alexa Bliss had? No, because there's never been one. Alexa Bliss is not a wrestler. Alexa Bliss is a popular Carmella. That's what she is. She's a more popular Dana Brooke. You're not watching her for any of her matches. You're watching her because she's cute, right? You like her because she's a cute girl, huh? That's why you like her? Maybe she makes those googly eyes you like, or maybe you like the way
she's good in that role, though.
She's cute, huh?
She's great in that role, though, Mish. Why does everybody have to put on a four-star match? I don't want to see her wrestle Charlotte Flair.
Wrestling company? Ah, well, when it comes to the women, okay, all right. So here's the problem when it comes to the women. The women for how many years, DT, have all been gimmicks and no wrestling? How many years have women pretty much in WWE specifically been based upon their looks? Been based upon, you know, their double D chest size? Well, now you're in a position where the company's supposed to be more focused around talent and actual gimmicks and wrestling and some kind of legitimacy. And you get a cute little girl like Bliss out there, huh? Likes to dress like she's like Charlotte. So
like Charlotte said, like a little girl.
14 years old. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she didn't say 14.
Saying.
To quote somebody from yesteryear, LOL, I'll pretend you said 18. But
Oh boy. And I'm sure she's not his type anyways, DJ.
Yeah, look, I think Alexa Bliss is fine in that role, but yeah. I don't want to do predictions today, but I don't think there's any chance in hell whatsoever that she is winning that title from Charlotte on Sunday. I expect
she's a merch mover, dude.
Yeah.
I will totally give her credit. Even that stupid Charlie doll, there were people chanting in the audience for the Charlie doll. Dude, Bliss is a saleswoman. She's an absolute saleswoman, but she's not a wrestler and she's not a talent.
I brought this up Saturday. You know, those Charlie dolls are not going to be available until mid-November. So yeah, if Charlotte and Alexa
Bliss is getting even longer. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If Charlotte and Alexa Bliss are going to be long gone by then, what's the purpose of the Charlie doll? Why wait that long to manufacture it? So I get this weird feeling down the line we may see Alexa Bliss and Charlotte team up.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. Just thinking about that. So Scott Woodford earlier said he doesn't want WWE to fail. He's bored with WWE and he fell asleep during Raw tonight. Look,
you gotta open up your eyes a little bit, bud. I understand there's a lot of stagnation in the company, but I think that they've done a really good job of kicking the rust off that. You know what I mean? If you really did fall asleep during Raw tonight, Scott, man, I don't know what it's going to take to keep you hyped. I mean, it's not going to be Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson matches every night. It just can't. You can't do that. You can't have 15 people show up on a program every night. It's not going to happen. Like, yeah. I don't know. If you really were bored to sleep tonight, man, I don't know if there's hope for you as a wrestling fan.
You want to know something. Not everybody tunes into AEW. The ratings prove that. But a lot less people tune into WWE than they used to, which just shows, I mean, you know, that both these companies, you know, do not attract every wrestling fan. And I have no fault in anybody who does not like WWE, just as I have no fault in anybody that doesn't like AEW. You know, just don't force feed me or call me stupid because I happen to not be a fan of something that someone else may be a diehard of, you know, but I hear what Scott is saying. I mean, I think, also I want to give a shout out. I don't know why the Super Chat stopped updating. I'm not kidding. They actually stopped updating here, but Justin Spencer, happy birthday to you, my brother. Oh no, it's not Justin's birthday. Whose birthday? Xander Elliott. I'm one step ahead. Xander Elliott. Oh wait, no, here it is. I thought it didn't update. There we go. He's celebrating his 29th birthday, and I'm assuming that it's now September 21st because your birthday would have already been long gone. But happy 29th, man. Much love. I'm kind of jealous that you're 29. I am long past 29 years old. Long past it. But I have the nose of a 29-year-old, though. A well-endowed 29-year-old. But thank you Xander, and I know why I jumped ahead with Justin's comment, because he kind of he got a little annoyed at his comment, but man,
I really look at the end of the day, I don't really give a shit who loves Alexa Bliss. It's just, you're not gonna sell me on her being this great wrestler.
She's not.
I'm sorry. Dude, people in here are like, ah, oh, she's a Grand Slam champion. The more and more people push harder for Bliss, the more and more insane they look. I'm sorry. Bliss is not a wrestler. She's just not. She's a salesperson. She's a gimmick. She's whatever makeup. Makeup is not a talent. Wearing makeup is not a talent. Putting on makeup and putting it on other people, that's something else. Just wearing it, physically wearing it, is not a talent.
What'd you think of the Reggie stuff tonight?
I mean, they're trying, right? Can I give him a gold star for trying with Reggie?
I can't get behind it. I mean, he's definitely coming off as more likable now. But man, talk about how much they're hurting that undercard just to get this guy over with these Cirque du Soleil stuff or whatever. I don't know, man. I mean,
they're trying,
but
there's something there. You know what? I'll be fair. R-Truth is solid. I like the fact that Drake is there. I mean, they're trying. I don't know how else to say it. Like, there is potential.
Gulak looks like a goof funny. Again.
Yeah, Gulak was kind of a goof, but there's something there where they can have fun with this, and it won't feel so stupid in the future. But right now, it's like the direction they're going at is very Tom and Jerry without the laughs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is absolutely characters there that should, in theory, work together and make these hilarious little skits and stuff like that. You know, and the reason why is you go back and you even look at the stuff that Street Profits and Otis or the Viking Raiders did, and like that was insane and silly, and that worked with the kung fu fighting and stuff. But for some reason, where we've gone with this 24/7 title doesn't work. So the idea of WWE doing goofy stuff like this in between and not having real matches, it works. There are times it really does work. Reggie ain't it. I don't know.
Well, we're at an hour and 47 minutes. We're going to take 12 minutes, 13 minutes of calls. So make them count. And please don't eat up all 13 minutes.
Oh, I'm taking a phone call? Oh,
we'll take a couple of calls. All right. Take a couple of calls. But
hold on.
Like
my Alexa Bliss noise is ready.
Yeah, like I said, you know, just if you got something specific you want to get into, by all means. Funny Mitch is going to be coming back in a minute. But I'm going to open the phone lines now. I will take this off. Do not disturb. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. And we will do calls for about 13 minutes till the 1:05 a.m. hour, which is very late. But why is this not connecting? Did I fuck something up off here? Hold on. All right, now it should work. If anybody wants to call in, like I said, just keep it specific. You got Mish on standby, ready to do something pretty wild for everybody.
Am I?
Oh, here we go. Okay. All right, I got it going now. I got it going. Hold on a second. Good evening, Your Honor. Who's this? Going once.
Can't hear no one.
Going twice. Gone.
Oh. Yeah.
Mish is just craving to show everybody. But, all right, let's open the phone lines again. Oh, you think Mish is going to prank call? You know, it's possible. That's very possible.
That's crazy.
Well, here's your chance, everybody. No.
Well, can you not hear me, DT?
No, I hear you fine. Hey, Your Honor, who's this?
Show, everybody. All right, let's open the phone lines again.
You
got
your mic.
This is Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Your Honor, who's this? Show, everybody.
Yeah, I send in the super chat to Mish.
All right, I will sit back and enjoy this. In fact,
I just want to start off by saying I am a fan of Mish and Wrestling Soups. I don't want to think I'm not.
Oh no, it's all in good fun.
I totally respect Mish's wrestling opinion and everything. We just kind of disagree with a few things, and that happens to be one of them. But I've been a big fan of this Wrestling Soup and the Don Tony Show. So I just wanted to call in and say I'm a big fan of both of you guys, and you know it's okay to disagree.
Oh, absolutely, dude. And I'm not hardcore serious about Bliss. It's not like I have like just hatred and anger for Bliss. I just don't look at her the same way as I look at other girls on the roster. I mean, when you compare what other girls on the roster are doing, when you compare what Charlotte's doing, when you compare what Nikki Ash is doing, when you compare what Becky Lynch is doing, and Bayley and Sasha and Bianca Belair and all these other talented girls, it's like, where does somebody that's mainly a gimmick fit, like Alexa Bliss in a company?
I think that's why it's World Wrestling Entertainment. Everybody has to bring something different, you know. A lot of people criticize AEW because everybody feels like they're a bunch of indie wrestlers and stuff like that. Even I don't agree with that, but that's some people's take. So I feel like, you know, WWE is a variety show. It's different. People bring different things, but like I said, big fan of Wrestling Soup. I thought you and Joey had a good show last week. Oh, no, much love, dude.
I appreciate it.
And I just want to go live next caller to call in. So I just wanted to call and speak to you guys. I really appreciate it.
I was actually waiting for a tongue beating, man. You're over here giving me praise, and I was waiting for you to come at me with guns a-blazing.
Not at all. Not at all. Big fan.
Much love, dude. Thank you.
Much love. Have a good night, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Okay. He's a cool guy. I was trying to get Lily to moon you, but I don't want to, like, really damage it. I don't want to, like, screw it up. So I think that's getting a little old very quickly. So, all right, let me open the phone lines again. 225-366-8669 or 833-366-8686. We got about 9 minutes left, everyone. So make them count. Make them count. Surprised nobody's going to challenge us about our thoughts on the Dreamer stuff and the Flair stuff. Well, maybe. Yeah. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Oh, crap. I got on. This is Rams fan.
What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
You know what? I got to call in, and, you know, now I don't even know what I want to talk about. I'm going to pull that on you guys. let me think here. DT, when we drop on that members Q&A vid,
I'm going to put it up tomorrow. I got it all done.
Oh, okay.
I put an intro in there. Yeah, it'll go up tomorrow for everybody.
Okay. Yeah, I recorded it. In the chat.
Yeah, I recorded it last night, so everything worked good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Much love.
Okay, so with Extreme Rules this Sunday, I know you were talking about it earlier, and Benjamin was trying to figure this out too. There's no stipulations yet announced this Sunday, right?
One so far. Right. Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor's Extreme Rules.
Oh, okay.
They are going to add more stipulations. I don't mind surprises. I mean, we're probably going to get told at least one or two by Friday. But, man, I wasn't joking when I said earlier with the wheel. That would have been such a cool thing to just, you know, spin the wheel and, you know, whatever it lands on. Or you could even go a little throwback of, like, what they used to do with Taboo Tuesday, where, you know, people would vote on what, you know, they would want to see in a match. The only thing that I always hated about that at that time is, you know, they would just do it on a website and everybody would vote. And I would have rather it be only people that ordered on the pay-per-view, which is probably not easy to do. But, you know, by Friday we'll know more.
Yeah.
What happened with the Taboo Tuesday, if you don't remember, was there was one time where the internet took control of the voting and started voting in matches that WWE didn't want people to pick. So they controlled the next Taboo Tuesday and they formulated their own results and people figured out that was bullshit. So they stopped doing it once people realized that WWE was altering the results. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But,
no, by Friday we should have at least one or two more stipulations added. I think, you know, they shouldn't have waited till the last minute, but we do know Roman Reigns and Finn Balor's Extreme Rules.
Okay, and then just one AEW-related thing, because I don't want to tie up the phone lines.
Sure.
I usually follow all your shows, so I don't know if you talked about this yet or not, but 200,000, is that the final rating that came in, or the final buy rate that came in for All Out?
They're estimating it between 2 and 250. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, would you consider that a win? I think I consider that a win because I know with CM Punk you're kind of expecting a little more, but I follow UFC and MMA, and granted, their best pay-per-views, like their good ones, only get about 500,000, 400,000, 500,000, and their not-so-good ones get about 3. So if they're almost close to UFC numbers, wouldn't you say that was a pretty good buy rate?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that... Yeah. They're only around 100 episodes on TV, and you're talking $50 plus a pop at $200,000 to $250,000. And then you also keep in mind that this isn't like what it was 20 years ago where, you know, the cable company, you know, in demand or something else would take almost half of it. So the profit margin is a lot better now. And, you know, especially that for WWE, I think their biggest non-WrestleMania pay-per-view buy rate was Invasion in 2001, which was about 800,000 buys. So you mean to tell me that they're less than 150,000, around 150,000 away of half of WWF's greatest buy rate, which had, you know, just the height of the... And plus, we're talking about an era where you really... It was almost impossible, unless you had like an illegal cable chip, to even watch the pay-per-view illegally. These days, I mean, we got people on Discord posting links, and they, I could honestly say that they, I wouldn't be surprised there's 50 to 100,000 more buys that they lost because of illegal streams.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people I know watch illegal streams. So
yeah, like I could have went that way, but I'm a fan of AEW, so I'm like, you know what, I'll give them my money, you know, they're worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to watch it just on the TV and relax, so I ordered it also, but sure, I could have watched it for free and just watch it on the computer instead, but I just...
Let me ask both of you guys a real quick question, and this is an interesting question. Do you feel that because AEW has less events but charges a higher price, their product is valued higher than WWE's, who has it for $5 a month or free, depending on where you have it, pay-per-views per month, and that maybe devalues the product in people's eyes? Do you think that the physical price of their events dictates how people view the value of their show?
Sure. Sure.
You
because,
do?
Okay. Because I look at it like this. All right. Peacock is $5 a month. Just saying, $5 a month.
And right, or sometimes it's free if you have Comcast. That's how crazy.
Or even
that
free.
Is.
But let's just say it's $5 a month, and you get, I don't know, 5 million subscriptions. Does that sound pretty fair? Like 5 million WWE subscriptions? Or let's just even say 10 million.
More than that.
Even let's say 10 million WWE subscriptions.
Okay.
10 times 5 is 50 million. Obviously, Peacock gets their cut or whatever it is. So we don't know what WWE's left over, but we're going 10 million subscriptions, $5 a pop, $50 million. Now you're going 200,000 buys at $50 a pop. So let's do the math. 200,000 times 5 is a million. 200,000 times 50 is 10 million.
Right.
AEW doesn't have the kind of travel expenses that WWE has. They don't have all these fees and...
But you're talking about this from the sense of the company. I'm not talking about it from the sense
of
the company.
I'm saying it's more profitable for AEW.
But I'm not talking about actual profit. I'm talking about the value to the fan. Because AEW has less pay-per-views at a higher physical price, do fans, do you guys, both of you, as a fan of AEW, value their product more because you spend more on it?
How do you feel about that?
That's a good question.
If I'm spending $50 on something, I want my money's worth. If I spend $5 on something and it's not that great, then it's like, oh, I only spent $5. So, I expect a better product from AEW.
Think of it like this. It's like going out for a steak dinner. We'll say that AEW is a steak dinner and WWE is a good old-fashioned hamburger. It's not a bad hamburger. It's a $10 burger versus a $50 steak. Now, the difference is you can only have steak 4 times a year. Does it mean more to you than having a hamburger, a good fucking hamburger, once a month?
I do.
I don't know. I'm just curious because it's like there's a lot of value that's put on the perceived notion of how fans feel about the product. And just like everything else in merchandise, when it comes to selling, you can sell two of the exact same thing. But if you charge $5 for one thing and $20 for the other thing, people will flock to the $20 thing more on average because they think that there's something special about it as opposed to the $5 thing, even though they're the exact same thing. So what I'm saying to you is, does that sales notion, when it comes to merchandise products, electronics, cell phones, whatever, does that same kind of sales notion apply to you guys with wrestling? When you look at a $50 pay-per-view, are you thinking, wow, that is worth my $50 because it's higher in price, even though it's the same kind of wrestling that you get with WWE? In a generic sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel, you know, if I'm going to spend $50 on something, like if I get free tickets for a baseball game and the team loses, I got the tickets for free. No big deal.
Okay.
But if I pay premium money and a team loses, I'm going to be probably more pissed. Like, I wasted this money and they lost.
Right.
Okay. Hey, real quick, guys.
Yeah.
Real quick. I got a counter question for Mish before I go.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He just made me think. Okay, so if AEW, they can't have a network right now. It's too early. It's just way too early. They don't have enough content. They only got like 2 or 3 years worth, whatever it is. But say they got a network, would their pay-per-views still get the buys? Like, say they've knocked the price lower and put it on a network, would they still get as much buys?
Don't they kind of have a network in Fight TV? Isn't Fight TV kind of their pseudo-network at this point? Because you can, from my understanding,
you have to pay a subscription.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah, that is like a network. But no, I think you still have to pay for the pay-per-view itself, too, on top of that.
Yeah, they have a weird thing where they work out, like, if you're a regular subscriber to Fight TV, you get, like, credits that you can spend on pay-per-view. I don't know. It's, you're right. There's a weird backdoor system that they have there. I think that if AEW went to a network, like something along the lines of, like, an IWTV, where maybe they shared some space with, I don't know, NWA, or like, that would be such a hit to Fight TV. But if they started going like-minded with other promotions in order to fill up some of that gap that they would have with just basic shows, man, I think you have something there. I think that people would absolutely bite into that. And I mean, if they did things too where they showed the background of their wrestlers, like if they could get old Kenny Omega matches or old Cody Rhodes matches or something like that, and they could find a way to bring that over to an AEW network, I think you could really fill it out. And I think that there's enough talent on their roster that they can come up with new original content. And I mean, something better than being the Elite. So, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that they would make money. I really do. I don't doubt it at all.
And I'll let you guys go with my I'll let you guys go, but yeah, I'm a normal AEW fan. I'm not an Elite guy or nothing like that. And I'm a guy that listens to Jim Cornette bash AEW and listen to AEW. So, but yeah, thank you guys for the thanks guys for the taking the time. And I hope I didn't tie it up for other callers.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Get a call. No, man, have a good night, my friend.
Appreciate the hell out of the call. Seriously, yeah. Dude.
Take care, my friend. I think we're going to call it with that. You know, we got a couple of all good calls in there. Decent combo. But, sure. Yeah, we're at 2 hours, 3 minutes, and I don't want to start getting all loony over here. That of just a rough day today. Really, really rough. But, you know, tomorrow we're going to be on Patreon, you and I. We got,
yes, we are.
You know, off the cuff tomorrow, which will be, is it off the cuff? No, I don't think it is off the cuff. No, it's all VIPers will send in some content. And
sure.
Yeah, we'll update everybody on the tournament for comfort food and other stuff. And we'll have NXT tomorrow. We'll see where they go with some of their new stars. And let's see how many people they can keep from last week as far as the audience goes. But I don't know. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, solid Raw. Looking forward to NXT tomorrow. I think it'll be a fun show to see, you know, the second show with the follow-up and everything else like that. And kind of curious as to how does NXT do after that wonderful wedding that we saw last week. I'd like to see where they go from there. But, yeah, a lot of positivity. Looking forward to it. Hope Samoa Joe gets well. You know, I don't know. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that too much. You know,
you want to talk about that?
I know.
I mean, what did you hear about that?
Well, I mean, the only thing that we know is that he's out. His championship is up now. You know, he's no longer the champ.
Yeah, I just think that that was intentional. I think the storyline with Ciampa just fits a whole lot more against the younger guys, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hope it's just storyline. And if I find out it's just storyline, I'm totally fine with that.
right? Samoa Joe's had a history of injuries. The last thing I want to believe is that this guy is just getting to the point where he can't recover, right? You know, so he has a lot left to give. And if worse comes to worse, at least Samoa Joe, we know, is a proven guy on the mic and has entertained people on commentary. I'd have no problems with seeing Samoa Joe becoming an NXT or a main roster announcer or commentary guy. So,
yeah,
thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, have a good night, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow.
I will see everybody tomorrow. So, peace.
Shout out to our elite channel members, our VIPers. This guy. I was playing around with them earlier too, but I didn't have enough time like him. I got home from work. No joke. I got home from work around 6 o'clock, and I literally went on the computer. In fact, I didn't even mention it. Someone gifted me this. If anybody out there is in podcasting land, you know what this is. I already have one. I can't show you because the cord is too small, but I had the smaller one, and somebody got me this massive one. So I haven't even connected the new webcam too, so the Elgato webcam. So I'm just tired. I got home at 6. I literally went right on the computer trying to install that software because I wanted to do penis nose tonight just to prove the point about the Ric Flair. So I read that comment he made, and I just thought, like, man, I know, you know, he wants to, you know, try to... I want Ric Flair to be happy in the final years of his life. I'm not looking to crucify Ric Flair again. But, you know, it's just more and more, it seems like, you know, a lot of these people feel that to just write it off like, oh, that's Ric Flair. Oh, that's almost like saying, like, you know, you get a pervert down the block that does really creepy, pervy, borderline illegal stuff. Oh, that's, you know, pervy Pete. Just ignore him. Hey, he's just a perv. Meanwhile, he's got his penis in your face and he's, you know, it's not cute. It might be cute when you're a party in your college dorm. It might be cute if you're at a party and everybody is, you know, in that mood, goofing off. It might be, you know, cute on a sex party or an island, but to do it in your 50s on a plane, there's no excuse for that. Shits and giggles. I'm sorry. None of it was shits and giggles. And if you go back to the history of all the stuff of me, that's why I never really like covering shoot interviews, stuff like that, because I don't know how I feel about a lot of these crazy-ass stories that I've heard over the years. A lot of people laughed their ass off whenever they would hear a plane ride from hell story. Now suddenly it's sacrilegious that it's disgusting. But if a U-shoot is done and they ask the same things and somebody tells the story in an entertaining way, it's funny as hell? No. So anyway, hope you all have a great night. I am going to, in record time, get this stuff online for everybody to download so I can crash for the evening. For our Patreon family, we'll be on tomorrow night right after NXT. If any of you out there want to check out our Patreon, it is patreon.com/DonTony. Easy to remember. If you sign up, not a money grab, but $5 gets you everything. You go check that out. If not, I will be here Wednesday night for all of you. Wednesday, big day, big night for AEW. I wanted to go to Grand Slam so bad, but nobody reached out, and I didn't expect that. You know, a lot of people talk out of their ass. And honestly, you know, AEW is not even going to respond back to press pass requests just to cover this stuff. It's like, ah, fuck it. I'll hang out with all of you Wednesday night. You know, it's all good. It's all good. But post your comments in the comment section. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, check out Saturday's show. I'm telling you, the draft predictions that we gave, everybody loves it. The intense debate that Mish and I had, especially about the Tommy Dreamer stuff, you will love it. We had a great, awesome 2-hour conversation on Saturday. And take part in the contest. So you want the instructions how to play, you'll have to tune into that episode. But it's a fun contest. And yeah, we'll be doing the contest this weekend for my channel members here. We'll put one up. And, you know, one always on Patreon too. But everyone, thank you as always for the support. Much appreciated. If you haven't subscribed yet, please consider doing so. If you know anyone else out there that may enjoy the channel, let them know about it. And hit that like button on the way out. So I am Don Tony. I say goodnight, everybody. Govinda Singh. I close out the show with a shout out to you, my brother. Govinda Singh, welcome to the family. Mish, you look creepy as hell.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.